Amen. So good to have each and every one of you here today at Oasis. I'm Pastor Sharon, and this is Pastor Rock. And if this is your first time here at Oasis, we'd ask you to just raise your hand, just because we need our ushers to give you a card this morning. Amen. And let's give our visitors a hand clap of welcome today. Amen. We're honored to have you today. We invite you to just join in to what God has got for you today. Amen. At this time, I'm going to speak a word of blessing over you, and then I'll hand it over to Pastor Rock. So be ready to receive what God has for you today. Amen. I declare in the name of Jesus that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I declare the favor of God surrounds you as a shield. You have the favor of God and the favor of man everywhere you go and everything you do. I declare you reign in life. You are a victor. You are more than a conqueror. You are the redeemed of the Lord. You are redeemed from sickness, disease, poverty, and lack. I declare you are the anointed of God. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I declare your household is blessed and living under an open heaven. The blessings of the Lord make you rich. Wealth and riches are in your house, and everything you put your hands to prospers in the name of Jesus. I declare the wealth of the wicked, the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches in secret places comes to you. I declare you are a world overcomer, and the Lord always causes you to triumph. And I declare over you this day in your body, strength to your body in the name of Jesus, health to your body in the name of Jesus, strength and health to your bones in Jesus' name. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, I command pain to leave your body in the name of Jesus. And I declare by Jesus' stripes, you are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Glory to God. Cut up just a little bit, or if I... Hallelujah. Yeah, I can hear now. Thank you. Can you hear me now? Yes. First thing we want to do is last Sunday was Father's Day, and you know, we had the breakfast, and the ladies and the teens or whatever went. I mean, the breakfast was just, it was amazing. I mean it. It was, I think all the guys enjoyed it. There was plenty of food. That's the first year we hadn't ate every little morsel of food there ever was in there. And then, you know, eating some of the coffee cups. But this year, I mean, there was plenty of food in there. There was more than enough food. And it was just so good. And y'all blessed my socks off. I mean, y'all gave us enough food to take home to last a week. And it was good. It was real good. And y'all blessed us financially, and you blessed us. I mean, you honored us. And I really, really appreciate everything that y'all did. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I'm always saying how y'all are the best. And I mean that. You're the best congregation ever. I mean it. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is neighbor looking time, isn't it? My neighbor keeps looking at me. I know there's something going on. It's neighbor looking time. Let everybody look at your neighbor. Smile at your neighbor. Point at your neighbor. Oh, yeah. Tell your neighbor we got a fellowship dinner tonight.
We've got a fellowship dinner tonight.
At 6 o'clock.
At 6 o'clock.
So you're going to be there.
You're going to be there.
And enjoy that fellowship dinner.
Enjoy that fellowship dinner.
Tonight.
Tonight.
At 6 o'clock.
At 6 o'clock. Amen.
Okay. Look at your neighbor and say,
I came
to receive God's good word
this day.
And I declare,
I'm ready.
Are you ready
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'll never, ever
be the same again.
In Jesus' name.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service. Father, we thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of your calling. We thank you that revelation knowledge comes this day. We thank you that the word of the Lord will have free course in our midst. We thank you for strong utterance and strong anointing and that your people make a strong drawing on the anointing of God. We thank you for answers coming in your presence today. Holy Spirit, teach through me, preach through me. Help me to say exactly what I should say today and the way I should say it. Illuminate me, Holy Spirit, while I'm preaching. Any direction I need to change, anything I need to say, use me, Holy Spirit. I yield myself as a vessel. Use me this day. And Father, I thank you that we are preaching and teaching your word, and you said signs and wonders follow your word. So we're expecting and believing to see signs and wonders follow this word this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do I have your glasses, Pastor? Glory to God. Actually, I thought it was my sunglasses, and I said, one day I went somewhere and I had two pair of glasses on, and I think it was here, and I said, "You're really going to get it today, aren't you? You're going to really, really." I said, "Yeah, I didn't even know I had two pair on." Glory to God. Ask if you will to get your Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 4. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I want to try to take it a little slow today because I really want us to receive all the Lord has for us. The title of the message today is Be Content. Now that's easy to say, but sometimes it's hard to do. Philippians 4 and 11 in the King James, it says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned." Everybody say, "I have learned."
I have learned.
"In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." This is the Apostle Paul. He said he had learned to be content. Now, I can't say I have learned to be content. I can say I'm learning to be content. I'm still learning. Now, I want to read that portion of Scripture and a couple of other Scriptures in it also in the Amplified. And let's expound on it this morning. "Not that I speak from any personal need, for I have learned to be content and self-sufficient through Christ, satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or uneasy, regardless of my circumstances." He was shipwrecked. He was on an island where a snake bit him and he should have died. He was thrown in prison. He received 39 stripes three times. This man went through bad circumstances. "I'm satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or uneasy regardless of my circumstances. I know how to get along and live humbly in difficult times. And I also know how to enjoy abundance and live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing life, whether well-fed or going hungry, whether having abundance or being in need. I can do all things which He has called me to do, through Him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill His purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace." So Paul, the apostle, said he could be content no matter what the outward circumstances because of Christ. I want to read just a portion of it in the New Life Version. "I've learned to be happy with whatever I have. I know how to get along with little and how to live when I have much. I have learned the secret of being happy." There it is again, it's the secret of being happy at all times. "If I am full of food and have all I need, I am happy. If I am hungry and I need more, I am happy. I can do all things because Christ gives me the strength." Those scriptures, they are just powerful to me. So we learn contentment. We learn it. Sometimes we never learn it. Oh, wait. That was good preaching. You almost missed it. Sometimes we never learn it. Be content while waiting in traffic. Be content while waiting in line at a restaurant. Be content with what you have now. That doesn't mean you shouldn't ever have a vision or a dream for more. It means you can be content and happy at this time, at this season, with what you have right now today. Be content. Be happy while you wait. Be content. Contentment is a state of happiness and satisfaction. You may aspire to another job. That's a good thing. But be content with the job you have until it's God's timing to get you the new job. Maybe you're believing for something that hadn't happened yet. Don't say, I'll be happy and content when this happens. Something in the future, sometime in the future, that's when I'll be content when this happens. Be content and be happy now in this season, in this time. You say, Pastor, how can I be content in my current situation while I'm waiting? Be thankful. Be grateful. If you're believing for a new house and you're saying, I'll be content when I get that, that's a lie. You're believing a lie. If you and I are not thankful and content with what we have now, we won't be thankful and content when we get the new one. Being content and being happy, it must be present tense. I didn't say it's always easy, but sometimes we need to give ourselves an attitude adjustment because our attitude gets so messed up. I'm preaching to pastor right now. Y'all can just listen. Sometimes pastor's attitude gets so messed up that I need to be snapped out of it and I need to start thinking about all the things that I've got, all the things I'm thankful for, all the people that God has brought in my life, all the goodness that He's shown me, all the times He's saved my life, all the times He's had mercy on my family members and on myself. I need to think about those things. And then I'm not discontent anymore. I'm content again. Because I have to refocus my mind. My thinking gets messed up. Just like a clock gets messed up and you have to reset it. Sometimes we have to reset our mind to be content. Right where we are in the middle of the hard place and the hard time. But be content where it's at until you get that thing that you're believing for. If happiness and contentment is always in the future, you'll never arrive at it. It'll always be in the future even when you get what you are wanting. When Corrie Ten Boom, y'all have heard of her, she was in a concentration camp for the Jews. They were killing all the Jews, and her and her sister Betsy, they were in one of the barracks, and that barracks became infested with fleas. Now, you know, I've read this before, and I knew it, but I don't know if you understand what infested with fleas is. Now, I've been in a house where it was infested with fleas. I'm not somebody that fleas, it doesn't even bother me. Fleas just, it just don't have an effect on me, hardly ever. I walked in this one house one day, and it was a vacant house. It was a house that was listed, and my legs got slap full of fleas. I'm talking about fleas. I'm talking about, it looked like my pants were black with fleas. And I'm like, man, what is going on? I got out of there very quickly. Now, so this place, this barracks where Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy were at, it's infested with fleas. And Betsy, her sister, has got a hold of this thanking God in the middle of everything, you know. And she's like, well, praise God, we got fleas in here. Hallelujah. You know, she's just one of those people that just does that in the middle, you know. And Corrie's saying, her sister's telling her, you're crazy. I'm paraphrasing, but I've read this story over and over. And she was saying, I am not going to thank God in the middle of that. I'm not. No, not for the fleas. There's an infestation of fleas in here. No. The guards, that was the only barracks that was infested with fleas. Once the guards found out it was infested with fleas, they wouldn't come in and do the barrack checks anymore. They left that barracks all alone. Betsy and Corrie Ten got the whole Bible studies. They had their Bibles out. They're teaching the Word of God to all these people in the barracks. They're having Bible studies every day in the barracks. I mean, because they're in a bad situation, no doubt. But God did something in their bad situation because they looked at it a little different. And the guards that would harass and continually give them problems and stuff, not even in there. The guards that wouldn't have let them have Bibles or much less a Bible study. You understand? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 in the Amplified. In every situation. Let's let that one sink in a minute. In every situation. You don't understand my situation, Pastor. Well, you don't understand mine. In every situation. No matter what the circumstance, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. The key to being content and happy is giving thanks to God in the middle of every bad circumstance. In the NIV it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So in all circumstances, at all times, it's the spiritual key for us. Thankfulness is a symptom of being contented. Paul said he had learned in whatever he goes through to be content. He learned it. We're learning it. I'm learning it. To develop a thankful attitude. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of, there's a man by the name of Charles Krauthammer. Y'all, some of y'all have heard of him. He's a news guy. He just passed away. And you might have seen his face on the news a lot there for years and years. And he passed away a few days ago. And everybody was talking about, when they were like saying things about his life, they said he had so much joy and he was so thankful and he was so good to be around because he was so happy and he was always had the best sense of humor you ever seen. You never seen anybody like him. And I mean, that was not just one person saying it. Everybody was talking about how full of contentment and happiness this man was. Well, I watched him for a while and I didn't know he was in a wheelchair. I didn't know that he had had a diving accident when he was 20 years old and had been in a wheelchair from 20 years old to 68 when he died. And he wouldn't let, when they were filming it, they fixed it where you couldn't even tell that he was in the wheelchair. He would not let that be part of his story. He said, I understand he's not denying that, but he's denying it's right to take his contentment and his happiness and his spoil his life. He's denying that ability to do that, and he didn't do that. That spoke to me. There's a lady that we know. Granny was in the hospital a couple of years ago, and we ran into a lady that we used to have the home group for this church, and she was in the home group at that time, and we ran into her in the hospital. She's in a wheelchair. She's been in a wheelchair since birth, and we said, what are you doing up here? She said, well, I'm a candy striper. I'm assuming she's in her late 50s, early 60s. She's been in a wheelchair all of her life. She volunteers at the hospital every week, sometimes twice a week. Then she goes to the prisons every week. She has a Bible study all the time. You talk about all the things this lady's doing, because I'm thinking, what is she doing? Oh, and she's visiting patients. She went in there and was talking to Granny and just lifting Granny up. Like, man. Now, I know y'all pray for me, because I'd need an attitude adjustment. I know y'all wouldn't. I know your neighbor wouldn't. I know y'all got it going on and you're content and everything. Since y'all have arrived, y'all can pray for me. So there's contentment in a concentration camp. There's contentment with sometimes being in a wheelchair until the Lord raises you up or you on the other side. Sometimes we can't be content in an easy situation. Sometimes, maybe it's a bad hair day. Oh, I broke my nail. That is awful. Just going to be a bad day. Go back to Philippians again in the message. I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much. Just as happy with much as with little. I've found the recipe of being happy whenever full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Whew. So we're learning. Are y'all learning? Okay, now this is where the sermon turns to meddling. Some sermons are meddling the whole time. I'm just going to meddle part of the time. Are you griping? Are you complaining? Are you irritated? These are symptoms of being discontented. Let me define discontented. These are the definitions of discontented. Dissatisfied, fed up, unhappy, disgruntled, restless, irritated, annoyed, frustrated. I stopped right there. It kept going. So undoubtedly, it's much easier to be discontented than it is to be. We're not naturally contented, but we are, as people, naturally discontented. Okay? There was this lady. She got a miracle that she got this job. People were wanting this job that she got, and they'd wanted it for like 2 years, but she just walked in off the street, and she asked God for a job, and she got this great job. Now, this is what she said. She said as soon as she got the job, she started complaining. It was a teaching job. She started complaining about the topic she would be teaching because she would much rather be teaching something about writing or some other topic, but not the topic that she was assigned, which was accounting. She complained about the cost of the parking. She complained that she had to share an office with somebody else. She complained the mailbox was too high. She complained that the water was too cold. She complained that the copy machine was too far away. She complained that the computer was too slow. She complained about the students. She focused on the little irritants, the little foxes, and they stole her contentment. Song of Solomon 2 and 15, you've heard it said, the little foxes spoil the vines. That's this scripture, Song of Solomon 2:15. Take us, this is King James, take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines. In the same is Christian Standard Bible, catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, for our vineyards are in bloom. And in Passion Translation, it says, you must catch the troubling foxes. Sometimes we have troubling foxes that spoil our contentment. Little offenses, little snide comments, little irritations spoil the vine, spoil your life. You've heard the statement or the saying, I've heard it and I don't know where I heard it, death by a thousand cuts. Have y'all ever heard that? It's like a slow, bad way to go. And sometimes it's like that with the little foxes. The little foxes by a thousand cuts, a thousand little things, a thousand little irritants and aggravations take the contentment and the happiness out of life for us. They spoil the vine or spoil your life. Maybe it's rude people, aggravating people. Look at your neighbor. This is a good time to look at the neighbor right here. Smile at your neighbor real big and say, I don't think he's talking about you, but the neighbor across the aisle does think he's talking about you. And that's what he told me. An irritant is a thing that is annoying or distracting. Oh. Let me give you complain. This is a winner right here. Complain. To groan or to creak under strain. A mournful sound. Y'all ever complain? Anybody that didn't say they complain, we are thinking about stoning you right after this service. We know that would be legalistic and it would be wrong, but we will ask for forgiveness. We'll have a forgiveness session. Because if you say you've never complained in your life, you're a liar and you deserve it. We've all complained. Hallelujah. Every one of us has complained. We're all in the same boat together. And sometimes we still complain. We're good little Christians, but sometimes we still complain. Good little Christians say nasty, mean things sometimes. It's true. I do. Y'all do. Look at your neighbor. Say, you know. There'd been some groaning and some creaking under strain, some mournful sounds. The stating of a grievance, expressing dissatisfaction or annoyance, a statement that a situation is unsatisfactory. Maybe it's pain in your body. I love how Pastor Sharon took authority over the pain this morning. That can be a little fox, or it can be a big fox. To steal our contentment and our happiness. Sometimes we have to pray. Maybe it's irritations. Sometimes we have to pray in order to release our irritations to the Lord. Because sometimes we can get yoked down with those little foxes, those worries, those things that irritate us and bother us. I know I've told you over and over in here, if I don't take care of something quickly, if something bothering me, if I don't get it off me quick, if I don't go ahead and pray about it right then, it'll wind up in my backpack, on my back, and I'll be trying to carry it, and then it'll just get me where I just can't hardly function. I mean, honest to God, it's just like that. Because we're trying to carry things, the little foxes, and we can't carry those things. And we release it through prayer. We release it through changing our mindset by getting in a thankful mindset. There was a lady that was in front of a minister. This was a true story. And she came up for prayer, and he laid hands on her, and he had a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. And he said, he's been dead 30 years. Let it go. She'd been carrying that little fox, that thing, you understand, for 30 years. He didn't know that by natural knowledge. God gave him that. So some things we have to release by changing our focus. Sometimes I know different people have different things. I know Pauline was telling us when she releases something that's bothering her, she takes it and writes it on paper, and then she puts it under the sink until it you know, gets it wet, and it wipes it off the paper. You know, some people throw it away. Some people get a burn pit, and they write something on the paper, and they put it in the burn pit, which I like that. I think that's neat. Just don't burn the house down or burn the yard down. But I think that's cool. But, you know, it doesn't matter what the method. You know, we get hung up on methods. Well, my method's the right method. It worked for me. No. Everybody is individual, and God may give you a different method. It doesn't matter as long as we get to the same result of releasing those little foxes that are trying to spoil the vines and hinder our life. Be content. Maybe you don't have a vehicle to drive. Be content until you do. Be content when you do. Maybe you have a vehicle, but you have to push it half the places you go. Be content with it until you get another one, a better one. Amen. Believe for the better one, but be content with the one you got. It's better than walking. God hates. Hang on. He hates. God hates complaining. He hates it. Sometimes I complain. Y'all need to pray for me more. Y'all not pray for me near enough. I'm sure I wouldn't ever complain if y'all prayed for me more. So step it up. Step it up. Y'all need to pray for Pastor more. The Israelite children, they were a complaining bunch of people. They had no food, so God miraculously provided manna for them every morning. Just go out and get your manna. It's the perfect diet. It's low carb. It's got all the protein you need. It's perfectly, everything's perfect. It's not too salty. It's not too sweet. It's just right. Then they started complaining about the manna. They started saying, it was better when we were in slavery in Egypt. I'd rather be back there doing that than I would be eating this manna every day. They complained. They grumbled. They couldn't see how good they actually had it. Hang on. Oh, there it is. There it is. Sometimes we can't see how good we've actually got it. We think we got it worse than anybody else in the world, and we can't see how good we've actually got it. We need it. Those Israelite children, they're marching around. They were constantly looking for the bad in their situation. Murmuring, complaining, griping. Every time we gripe, I'm preaching to pastor now. If y'all receive any of it, it's y'all's business. But I'm preaching to pastor. Anytime I gripe, anytime I complain, I'm saying, God, you're not good enough. You're not taking care of me good enough, God. I don't have enough provision. I don't have enough this. I don't have enough that. God, I'm complaining because this ain't right. I don't like this situation. I'm complaining. I'm actually saying, God, you're not big enough. You're not doing me right. That's what my complaints are in the nostrils of God. And He hates it. Now everybody's saying, wow, those ungrateful Israelites. What complainers? What whiners? What about us? Are we constantly looking at the bad in our spouse, in our job, in our friends, in our church, in our life, in our health? Do we complain about our kids or our spouse or our job or our boss or our house? Be content. That's easy to say, it's hard to do. When somebody is aggravating you, be content. When you're irritated, be content. When your circumstances look bad, be content. When your circumstances look great, be content. When you're in emotional pain, be content. When you're in mental anguish, be content. When you're eating out, be content. When you're eating leftovers, be content. Be thankful to have leftovers to eat. This old stupid car I've got. Be content. I didn't say you couldn't believe for better, but don't complain about it. Because it's really saying, God, you don't do me right. Be thankful for it. And be believing for a better one. And by being thankful, it opens the door to get a better one. I'm coming to a close. There was this, I asked Pastor Sharon if she'd come. There was this elderly gentleman. He was in his, I don't know, mid to late 80s. I used to pick him up. This is, I don't know, 35 years ago. I used to pick him up to go to church. And I really liked him. He was a nice guy. But sometimes I'd go to pick him up and he wouldn't be there. He wouldn't go. And I often wondered, well, why won't he go this week and he won't go next week? He'll go this week and he won't go next week. And I didn't know, really. And then somebody told me. They said he's getting mad at the pastor. And he's mad at the church. And I said, what's he mad about? And they said, well, you know, sometimes how this pastor, she would ask him to come up and sing. He'd sing solos. He's in his 80s, and that's what he liked to do, was to sing those solos. And so he'd sing a solo, and he'd be real happy, and he'd be content. But then the next week, she wouldn't ask him to sing a solo. She might ask somebody else to sing a solo, or she may feel led not to have any solos. Well, so the next week when I went to pick him up, he ain't coming. Because he's not content, because he felt like he was personally slighted. What is that? That was a little fox. You see it? That's a little fox. Well, you know, we say, well, he's 80-something years old. That's right. Spiritual growth is not based on natural age. You could be the biggest baby in the church and be the oldest baby in the church. It's not based on natural age. We grow as we yield and lean into the Lord and let Him change us. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of obedience. There's a lot of sacrifice, like Juan was talking about this morning. There's a lot of sacrifice. You know, that sacrifice you're talking about, that's hard on the flesh. Oh my God, that's hard. You know, because there's some hard things when your flesh wants to rise up. Somebody, a little fox, comes across your path and they say something derogatory. And you're quick-witted. I can get them. I can get them. They're going to look like they're going to empty head when I finish with them. I'll pop them back. And the Holy Spirit's saying, no! What's it doing? It's causing growth. You're not paying attention to the little fox. We have to grow where we don't look at the little foxes all the time. This little guy, he didn't realize. He may have got this before he went home to be the Lord. I don't know. He didn't realize he should go anyway. Whether they ask him to sing a solo or whether they don't. Whether they're right or whether they're wrong. They felt led to do it a different way. He shouldn't have had it as a personal front to him and let it stand in the way of him serving his God and being in his fellowship that he was called to. Sometimes those little foxes of complaining and griping, they're spoiling our vines and they're stealing our contentment and happiness. Be content. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. That was an awesome word this morning. Amen. Something that we all need to work on every day of our lives, amen? Because it's so easy to take things for granted, just like most of the jobs that we have. You know, when we got that job, we're looking for it, we're applying for it, we're going to interviews, and we are trying everything we can try to get that job. And so when we get it, we're so thankful. Thank you, God, for that job. And then weeks go by, months go by, and somebody starts getting on your nerves, and something goes wrong on your job, and all these things start happening, and you think, well, I need to just quit this job. I'll get a better job. I'll be around better people. But guess what? No matter where you go, people are people. So we have to just learn to be thankful to God for what He has given us. Amen.
Amen.
Even if our circumstances aren't perfect, because no matter where we go, no matter what we do, there's going to be imperfect situations. Amen.
Amen.
And so we have to just learn. We're going to keep our eyes on the Lord. We're going to have a thankful heart. Amen. We're going to be grateful. And I'm going to challenge you this week.
Amen.
I want to challenge you to write down 10 things about your spouse that when you first met them, first married them. Now, Pastor and I used to do this in marriage counseling, and he would say 10 things that you admired about that person. And I say, right, that's a little bit difficult. Tell them 5 things. Just write down 5 things. And but I'm going to challenge you. Write down 10 things about that person that you admired and that you were drawn to when you first dated them and you first married them. And then about your job. I'll narrow it down to 5 things about your job. Write down 5 things about your job that when you first got it, you were thankful for.
Yes.
And when you first started in that job, that you were grateful for. Amen.
Amen.
See, what sometimes it's just a matter of getting our focus right. To resetting our minds, to see the blessings in our lives, the good things in our lives, amen? Because the little foxes, as Pastor taught on, is always going to prop up everywhere you go, where you're at.
That's right.
They're going to pop up, and so we have to readjust, refocus our minds on the goodness of God and how He has blessed us each and every day.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. Even in our health and our children.
Yes.
You don't realize a lot of time how thankful we should be for
our
health.
That's right. Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
I'm going to stop right there. Feel it? Okay. Praise God. Let's give God a hand clap this morning. Amen.
Glory to God.
For He is so good to us, so wonderful and awesome to us. Amen.
Just one little thing. I want you, if you've got a birthday in the month of June, stand up.